Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. You love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have 7, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of 5 and grandmother of 3, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531.
That's Hebrew for family, and Chavarim, that's Hebrew for friends. Welcome, family and friends, to this special edition and very important edition of the Shofar Ministries Hour. Glad to have you with us. We are live on Christian Radio today, 1220 a.m., and we're on the World Wide Web as well, whkwradio.com. My name is John Bartlett, and I'm your joyful co-host, and our joyful Bible teacher is our minister, Sheila Crawford. And just a reminder, you can always go back and re-listen to our programs because we tape them, and you find them there at shofarministries.net. So glad you're with us. We're going to start out. We want to start out with a prayer, as we always do. Abba, Father, we come before you today with thanksgiving. We're in awe of your awesome power. Thank you for answering last week's prayers, the miracle for Sheila's brother, as chief among the other prayers you've answered. And right now I'd like to, because of this is very important, I want to insert something right here in the prayer. And we want to lift up a fellow named Saeed Musa, who was is a former Muslim, and he received the Lord as his Savior. Now, what happened was he was put in jail. He's in Afghanistan, and he's facing execution because he is a believer. So please pray with me if you can. Lord, we just want to lift up Saeed to you. Keep his belief in his Savior strong. Make him a light to his captors so that they can see your glory and get saved too. And also send your angels to guard his wife and children from harm. We want to hold up to you and ask, too, for your touch on Sheila's daughter, whose doctors have found a nodule on her lung and are running more tests. And as always, we're grateful to you, Lord, for the opportunity to testify of your grace and kindness and the prophecies found in your word, the Bible. Please bless all our listeners today with ears of understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, John. Shalom to all the listeners today. And again, I want to thank you. The last time we were on was actually 3 weeks ago. And I did pray for my brother who was like in a coma. And in fact, when I got there right after the radio station, they said that they didn't expect him to make it. But we had prayed.
That's right.
All of a sudden he had a turnaround and he came out of it. And so much so that I was able to give him the true biblical gospel of why you have to be born again. And this time he received it.
And then, I was going to say, and then what happened? And it
was great. Oh, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, I remember praying to God saying, Lord, if you're not sure of my brother's salvation, or if I'm not sure because he's not, then please bring him back so that I'll have the time and prepare.
And that's exactly what he did.
What happened.
Do we deserve this? No, but by his grace and his love for us, through Jesus, that things like these are able to happen. It'll happen for you too.
Yes, and he's actually home now. So.
Oh, he's home.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's great.
Wow.
But we are truly glad to be here today, and I hope to actually continue at least this program at least once a month. All your donations goes towards paying airtime, just so you know.
Yeah, yeah. We're not frivolously wasting those donations. Not
no.
at all. We really need them, and we really appreciate them when you send them in. By the way, our next program will be on a Saturday, of course, and that will be the Feast of Purim. And that's March 19th, Saturday at 4 p.m.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
And also, you can check my calendar on the webpage for updated radio dates and speaking engagements.
Okay, and don't forget now, Shofar Assembly, where we get together in flesh and blood, we meet every second and fourth Saturday of the month. And that's coming up this Saturday on February 26th. And if you need directions, hey, it's easy to get there, but hey, call us. We'll give you directions. It's no problem. Call 440-834-9006. We're closer than you think. Now, we'll have the lines open later in the hour for your questions regarding the last times for Sheila. The number is 888-677-WORD. We'll remind you of that later. Now, but first we would like to get to the news, and I know there's been so much going on. Sheila, you've been just bursting to...
You know, there is so much that I decided not to talk about any of it because
I don't know where to begin because all of this, all these prophecies are really lining up. And
oh my gosh, Jesus is coming soon, people. That's all I know. But some good news.
Yes.
I'll start out with some really good news is that the Republicans that just came into office have given some budget cuts and it passed the House. And one of them included no more money for Planned Parenthood. Did you know?
Or tax dollars, actually.
Right.
Those are our tax dollars. We don't have a choice.
That's right. Did you know that 300,000 abortions are averaged each year thanks to Planned Parenthood?
And so many of those could have been adoptions.
My gosh. Yeah.
There's so many other choices. Now, they're saying they want choice, but they don't give us any choice when they force us to pay taxes to pay for abortions. Where's our choice? Where's our choice in the matter?
I know. So now, of course, has to pass the Senate, and we have to hope that Obama doesn't veto it.
Yeah.
So, but
that's good news, though.
Yes, it's a step in the right direction. However, with all the stuff that's going on in the Middle East, you know, it's just not looking good. Well, it depends on your outlook.
It does. It really does.
You know, if these things have to happen before Jesus calls us home in the rapture,
right?
Then so be it. You know,
that's
so in
it.
A way, it's you can be kind of excited about it.
Yeah, we're excited. We don't have a cavalier attitude
about
it at all. But we're very excited because these things are great. Some of these events are very grave.
Yes.
And they're heavy, but we're excited because they mean that the return of the Lord is very near.
Absolutely. I believe we are that generation, John.
I believe we are, too.
But last time, 3 weeks ago, we had just... begun talking about the uprising that had just started in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and well, now that's over with. Mubarak's regime has fallen and has been replaced temporarily with the military until they can get organized enough to have democratic elections. But in the Middle East, that is not usually a good thing.
Well, right. Democratic does not necessarily, elections does not necessarily make a country democratic.
No.
No.
In fact, America is not democratic. We are a republic.
Oh, that's right.
We are
a republic, yeah.
But remember Gaza, when they had a democratic election a few years ago?
On what
and they
happened?
Elected the Hamas?
Hamas, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how Hezbollah got in Lebanon's coalition government and then did a coup just a few weeks ago. And
it's
now ruling.
Right. And remember, Hezbollah and Hamas, were founded by Iran and this part of
funded by Iran.
Funded by
sure.
Iran and for this express purpose of spreading Islam, radical Islam, and for attacking their enemy, Israel and America.
That's number one. They want to get rid of Israel.
Yep.
I mean, that's the anti-Semitism. That's Satan's power coming through.
And here they are with their foot. They're through the door in these governments already. We're watching that. They're coming right through the door. And they'll be in control soon.
So why don't democratic elections work? Usually it's because people think they're voting for their freedom, but they are deceived. They are truly deceived. And then often they are actually corrupt anyhow. But everyone is closely watching, at least everyone that knows anything, you know, us Christians. We're watching very closely the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've been around since 1928, but again, same as always, they hate Israel, and they want to get into Egypt's coalition government that possibly could be coming with their next election.
Right.
But they will be part of it because they're so organized. And I listened to a few people from Egypt that had gotten to America.
Mm.
And in fact, was on one of the shows, Geraldo Rivera.
Okay.
And he asked them about the Muslim Brotherhood, about getting into Egypt, and they were all in favor of it. They actually said that they liked the Muslim Brotherhood, that they had done good things and gave them schools and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I would bet anything that they're going to get in, and then there will absolutely be no peace with Israel.
And of course, you have a very, very good reason for thinking that, and we'll tell you that later, but a biblical reason for thinking that this is going to go this way. Now, they want to revive the caliphate, right?
Right.
That is code word for just worldwide Islam.
Really what it is.
Yeah.
That's really what it
and,
is.
And Sharia law for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, don't forget, now, there is Sunnis that want a caliphate, too, and they would
prefer
it be Sunni. But the caliphate is probably going to be predominantly Shias only because they are more determined.
Yeah, they are. They are.
They're more determined.
And they're more organized, too.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not real schooled on them, but, you know. But I know that Mubarak banned the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. They were never allowed to be in there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Mubarak's gone, totally different story. And in fact, the Muslim Brotherhood spiritual leader, his name is Karadawi, they actually allowed him to give a speech in the heart of Egypt in Friday's weekly prayer.
Oh, they have a weekly prayer rally there, I guess.
Well,
right?
All Muslims have their weekly prayers on Friday.
Okay.
But he's widely considered the preeminent Muslim Brotherhood theologian.
Hmm.
And very, very well-liked.
Oh, and also, we really have some breaking news here for you. We should tell you, this morning, two Iranian warships have just transited the Suez Canal.
They have.
And they're heading up the Mediterranean coast, right?
I
going
understand.
Right by
That's
Israel.
What they're doing today.
I guess their intention is to dock in Lebanon or Syria, somewhere like that.
Right. Now, they had started rumors that actually the ships hadn't gotten into the Suez Canal, that it was delayed so that, you know, people wouldn't get all upset or whatever. I don't know. But anyway, that was all a lie.
But we found out they're through it.
Yes.
They've gone through it. And what are these ships carrying?
Well, from what I understand, long-range missiles to the Hezbollah in Syria.
There we go. Okay.
You know? So a little bit more with the Iran, too. I recently heard that, you know, they've been looking for the Mahdi.
Yes.
But they also believe that the Mahdi can't come unless there's world chaotic problems going on.
Yeah, we have to have chaos and bloodshed and everything. And this
they
situation,
want to start it.
And of course, and they're very open about that. You can check that out.
Okay, well, now you know who Ahmadinejad is. He's the prime minister or the president. I'm not sure what they call him.
Yes.
But there's also the spiritual leader, and that's the Ayatollah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, recently, within the last few days, the Ayatollah said that he now has personally been in contact with the Mahdi.
And the Mahdi is?
He's coming. He's waiting for a little more chaos.
Okay. The Mahdi is the
next day
that
Iran started going through the Suez.
Oh, right after he said that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and for those that don't know, the Mahdi is the equivalent of the their Messiah for Islam.
Well,
it's something like
sort
that.
Sort of like that. Yeah.
Sort of like that, yeah.
Yeah, but it's amazing because if you read their hadith, which is their Muhammad's writings, not necessarily in the
Quran,
but
Quran.
The hadith, the comparison between what the Antichrist is going to do in Revelation and what the Mahdi is supposed to do matches pretty much.
And that's a pretty chilling match. And we urge you to check that out.
Yeah.
We can give you sources. You call us, we'll give you the sources to check that out. But that's really chilling to see that. Well, what's the bottom line here?
We could go on and on and talk about different countries that are now having an uprising, you know, like what happened in Tunisia and of course, Egypt, Indonesia, Algeria, Nigeria, the Bahrain, Libya, Yemen. Oh, my gosh, it's just all over. This chaos is beginning. But the bottom line is we are living in the final days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Bible prophecy says that all nations will come against Israel. And remember, Israel's three neighbors just 2 months ago were at peace with Israel.
Yeah, long peace.
Yes.
Egypt.
Lebanon had been peaceful for a long, long time.
Yes.
Okay. Now they are not. They're being ruled by Hezbollah, and Hezbollah's just foaming at the mouth right now to try to get at Israel. Egypt, the same thing. Okay, the Muslim Brotherhood's going to get in there. So now there's two neighbors that have not any kind of a peace agreement at this point. The only one that's left is on the east, and that's Jordan.
Jordan.
And according to Psalm 83,
mm-hmm.
Jordan is going to be part of the nation or the peoples that come against Israel.
Now, that was the reason I told you to stay with us. We're going to tell you the reason why we believe all this stuff is coming into alignment. Just check our archives on our website. That's shofarministries.net. And you'll check out the newsletters and the radio programs of June of last year. And that's where we discuss the prophetic nature of Psalm 83. A lot of times we've read that psalm and we've never realized that it was prophecy. And check out those programs. You'll be astonished.
Right.
Yes.
I think we might even do that again. I think maybe next time, especially since now Egypt and Lebanon and soon Jordan, I'm pretty sure. And just to confirm what I just said about Jordan, there is actually a letter signed by 36 tribal leaders from Jordan, okay? And they urged the king, who, by the way, the king of Jordan has gotten rid of his whole government and is starting over, hopefully to please the people, because he knows that they're starting to do an uprise.
Right.
So he wants to stay, so he got rid of his whole government. And but anyway, these 36 tribal leaders urged the king to end corruption and anti-democratic measures. The letter said, Jordan will sooner or later face the flood, like in Tunisia and Egypt, because of the suppression of freedoms and looting of public funds. Okay, so it's coming. And over the last 2 weeks, an arm of the Muslim Brotherhood organized tens of thousands of people to call for economic and political reforms in Jordan.
You hear that? Organized tens of thousands of people. How good? We can't even organize 10, you know. So this is really an organized effort.
It is.
And it's been planned for a lot of years.
Don't forget who the God is.
Yes.
And it's Satan.
Yes, that's right.
He's pretty organized, actually. All the while, the Palestinians, the Hamas in Gaza, are just waiting for the word to begin even more chaos.
Mm-hmm.
As our own United States this last week said the Israeli settlements are not legitimate. Now, they refrained from saying illegal because the UN wanted them to, and they did veto that declaration. However, last week, Hillary said, in fact, I think we have a quote from her, John, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And this is, how could they do this right after the veto? She said, I think it's absolutely clear to say, number one, this is a quote, that it's been American policy for many years that settlements were illegitimate. And it is the continuing goal and highest priority of the Obama administration to keep working toward a two-state solution with both Israelis and Palestinians.
Right. The whole world is coming against Israel. Do you see it, people? You've got to see the days that we're living in. And then Matthew 24:7, they ask Jesus, what is going to be some of the signs of the end of the age? And he says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Nation means the Greek word ethnos, and it just means people will rise against people. That's what's happening. And the kingdoms, too. Kingdom just means that still nations that have a king, you know, like Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Morocco.
Right.
Okay. But they're also seeing the beginnings of protestings, people rising
against people.
And we're seeing it in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We've got the Democrats fighting against the Republicans. That's really what it's all about.
Yeah, it's people against people and nation against nation. Again, that's prophesied 2,000 years ago.
I know. Oh, my gosh. I have chills all over. I just, you know, I love Jesus with all my heart, John, and so do you. And I long for him.
Yeah.
I want him to come back.
I do, too. And you know what? I'm not a perfect person, and he's provided a way for me to cleanse myself of sin by his atoning work on the cross.
Yeah.
And I just need to confess my sin and we're not perfect,
no.
but we do know him as Savior, And he can be your Savior too.
That's right. We've been washed, and we need to get that word out to as many people as you possibly can.
Yes.
I've talked to so many Christians that say, you know, I don't know why, I just don't have the fire to tell people about the Lord. And when you really press them, it's because they just don't believe that anyone wants them. They just say, oh, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that all before. I've tried it before.
Well, okay? I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is that we've got to keep planting the seeds. And that's what our topic is going to be about today. How did you like that segue?
That was pretty good. That was off the cuff.
Yeah. We are going to be talking about the importance of planting the seed, even if you don't think you're going to see the harvest. That's not your job. Your job is just planting the seed.
Yes.
And the more seeds you plant, it's going to be, that's storing your treasures in heaven. And we're going to talk about that because I don't think people really understand how important that is.
It is very important, isn't it? And the seed, of course, is the good news.
That's right.
The good news of
the seeds. Let the Lord decide how it's going to bring to fruition. It might be during the tribulation. It might be a tribulation saint.
Yes.
And there's lots of them, according to Revelation.
Satan has got this world so blinded to the fact that he doesn't really exist.
I know. I say that, too.
But he's also got the church blinded, too.
Right.
To the churches, most of the mainstream churches are not teaching or talking about this here. Folks, we're right at the a moment in history, in the Earth's history, where we're going to probably see the return of
Jesus. We are.
And that is
very exciting
for us.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's very heavy because of the world conditions that it's going to be happening. We believe we are tribulationists. We believe that we're going to be called up. That God's going to remove his church from the face of the earth because he's going to judge the earth for the sin of unbelief.
That's right.
For his son. But even if you find yourself in that position where all of us crazy Christians are gone, they've been talking about the tribulation, get on your knees and repent. God will still forgive you. The gates of repentance will still be open. But
that's
it'll be an evil and dark time, and it's going back to temple times, and everyone will be looking to the Jews for salvation. Daniel's 70th week, exactly.
Right. But last month when we were here, which was about 3 weeks ago, we did discuss the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven that Matthew clearly differentiates, and he does. The kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom inside of us when we invite Jesus into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the kingdom of heaven is that millennial kingdom that's coming after the tribulation period. And then we read many scriptures confirming that fact.
And, of course, those are archived as well right on shofarministries.net for January 29th of this year.
That's right. But one of the questions that this ministry likes to answer is not only, why are we here?
Why are we here? We're here to decide where we want to spend eternity. We're here to make a choice.
That's right. Yeah. That's why we're here. But what happens when we get to where we're supposed to be going? Okay? What about when this age is over? And with this in mind...
Yeah, and assuming you've chosen to be with Christ.
Right. Let's examine on today's show the events that will occur at the moment of the close of this age,
mm-hmm.
and before the kingdom of heaven begins.
The millennial kingdom.
That's right.
On earth. That's heaven on earth. The millennial kingdom on earth.
That's right. First, there will be the resurrection / rapture.
And really, rapture just means resurrection.
It sure does.
Yeah, it just means you don't have to die first.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just simple bring it
Common
up.
Sense, though. Yeah.
Okay, which is the soon, anytime, and somewhat unexpected to many, catching up of all the righteous by Christ to be with him always.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18 contains this incredible promise. And I wonder, John, could you read that before we have to go to break?
Yes. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, the anointed one, shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, the whole body of Christ, to meet the Lord in the air.
In the air.
And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then this verse says, comfort one another with these words.
That's right. And note Christ's instructions that we, in other words, the true heartfelt believers, are to comfort one another with these words.
Mm.
So shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. And this takes care of any thought, by the way, of a partial rapture. And I know that, that every once in a while we come up with somebody that'll say, oh, well, only some of you are going. You have to be good enough and the rest are going to go later. No, we will be with him in the air. That's the bride of Christ. In other words, we are all going to be caught up together in the air and we are all going to be with Christ forever.
Yeah, no, not part of the Bible to go up later in the tribulation, right?
That's right.
Not going to happen. And we as the church, we're the bride of Christ. We need to be getting ourselves ready. We need to be doing what God
called
us.
We are ready.
Well, we've been caught doing what
you... If you're saved, you are ready.
You're ready, but you need to really, really get serious right now about what God's called you to do and get serious about repenting. If you got these little sins in your life, repent, you know?
Okay. We're going to talk about that tonight because our sins are forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we do repent for our sins. If you're a Christian, you do that. I would hope not.
You have to. Yeah.
But the reason that you want to get and tell as many people about the Lord is because of the rewards. And that's when we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about that.
Because there is a special reward just for telling people about the Lord.
Oh, I know. And there's another reward for just being excited about his return.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Timothy talks about that one.
Hmm.
So, but Christ's instructions that we, the true heartfelt believers, again, are to comfort one another with these words. So how many times have you told someone, hey, be comforted. We're not going to be here for the tribulation.
Yes.
You know,
I know.
That's just awesome.
And for those that are teaching, and this kind of gets my anger up a little bit, but those that are teaching that the all this talk about the resurrection, the rapture, that this is allegorical.
Yes.
And it's not really going to happen. I want to warn you that...
They're wrong.
yeah, I'm going to warn you to say that that's all it is allegory, because the Bible is allegorical. It's prophetic. It is, and it also is literal. And you have to weigh those matters when you look at a scripture. Remember the church did not believe... They thought that Israel coming back together, the people of Israel, in the land of Israel... was an allegory. And then in 1948, what happened? The real thing, it came to pass.
Right.
You know, the literal fulfilling of that verse. And
yes, I'm a literalist, and I've always believed that the Bible is to be taken literal. That's why God wrote it. He wanted to make sure that even a child could understand it. Once you how do you say that?
I wouldn't even, allegorize.
Once you do that,
yes,
then it's like your decision or someone else's decision on what it means.
That's right. And
you know?
Peter tells us that the Bible is not, prophecy is of no personal, any man's own personal interpretation.
That's right. That's right. But this is the time we will receive our glorified bodies at the resurrection and finally be freed from the presence of sin. Remember, at our salvation or justification, we are freed from the penalty of sin by Christ's blood.
And remember that. We're coming right back. We're going to take a short break. The lines will be open to call us if you have a question.
Oh, please do.
We'll give you those numbers. I'll tell you right now, one is 888-677-WORD. And we cover a big area on the radio. Would you like us to visit your church? Hey, give us a call, okay? Stay with us. After a few short words, we'll be right back.
That's right.
AM 1220, The Word. Radio that will change your life. Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I was encouraged when you said that the House is considering defunding the abortion clinics.
Here's what you've got. I met actually here in Washington, D.C., with both Senator Ensign and Senator Vitter. Both of them very concerned about the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. Here's the way it works right now. No money that is given by the taxpayers, that means from the government, to Planned Parenthood, is supposed to be used for abortion activities. But here's what it does. if you get tens of millions of dollars, which is what they're getting from the taxpayers, from you and me, going to Planned Parenthood, and it frees them up, they have to spend, they can spend that money on other things, it frees up more money available for the abortions.
Sign up for email alerts, find key resources, and read Jay's trial notebook on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Need to raise money, but you're tired of washing cars and having bake sales?
Not again.
Do what thousands of other Christian groups are doing. Go to SamaritanFundraising.com. At SamaritanFundraising.com, you'll learn how Christian groups are raising thousands of dollars fast. One Christian group recently raised more than $10,000. Fundraising is easy when people save money.
Thank you.
Visit SamaritanFundraising.com and put some real fun into your fundraising. SamaritanFundraising.com.
Hidden in plain sight for centuries. But now you can finally benefit from the amazing antioxidant power of the coffee berry, whole coffee fruit. Thanks to a scientific breakthrough, this patented stabilization technology, the once highly perishable fruit of the coffee bean has been harnessed. Simply put, it is the most antioxidant-rich fruit on the planet, and nobody has it but Sozo. S-O-Z-O. Just 1 3-ounce serving of the wellness functional beverage Sozo has the approximate antioxidant capacity of 21 servings of fruits and vegetables. Sozo, an antioxidant powerhouse that'll start your day in a very healthy way. And as for taste, Sozo is bright, refreshing, and delicious. Sozo has a 30-day money-back guarantee, so order yours right now by calling 800-778-SOZO. Online, go to TalkSozo.com. Be healthy. Call 800-778-7696. That's 800-778-SOZO. S-O-Z-O.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Thank you for staying with us, and we're going to get right back into the subject we were covering right before we went into the break, which was the rapture and our salvation and the world events.
And the rewards.
And the rewards, yes.
Once again, the numbers for your calling questions, keep it to end times if you can, is 888-677-WORD.
That's 9673-888-677-9673. Like to hear from you.
That's right. We would. We were talking about, well, basically, when you get saved, there's like three things that are going to happen. First of all, you're going to get saved. Okay. But when you're at your salvation, you are justified. Okay. It's called justification. And we are freed from the penalty of sin because of Christ's blood.
Okay.
Okay. That's the first step.
Right.
Now, then what you want to do is you want to journey through and get to a total sanctification that 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about, total body, soul, and spirit.
Sanctification, in other words, a process that you go through in your Christian walk.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a journey, actually.
It's a journey. And then when we become sanctified, we will be freed from the power of sin.
Total sanctification, mm-hmm. you can pretty much bet on that.
Yes. And
not that we're sinless.
That's as far as you can go in the flesh.
You know how even when you first get saved, sometimes there's a sin that you just still keep dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
And you're having really hard time with it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the more time you spend in the Word, the more sanctified you get so that your whole body, soul, and spirit, then you can pretty much get rid of that sin that's been hovering over you.
Yeah. You're not getting, yes.
It's that
not
power that you get from the Word of God to fight it.
Well, you know, that's right.
Okay. And then at the resurrection / rapture, mm-hmm. then we get our glorified bodies. And then we are freed from the presence of sin. For example, the sin factor is removed altogether. We will not be able to sin after that, John.
That is a very, very comforting thought.
That's right. And anyway, after the rapture, the tribulation on earth will begin. And I'm saying it'll probably be about 10 days later, and there's a whole teaching on this that I can't get into right now, and I have reasons for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say it'll happen about 10 days later, and it'll begin on the earth when this new leader signs a peace treaty with Israel.
Or renegotiates it or something, I think.
And remember, there will not be any other treaties in effect at this time, which is why we are seeing
this
the loss of the peace treaties with Israel now because
yeah,
we are that
right now.
Close. I mean, this is really exciting
this is why we're excited today. So, we're seeing that unfold today as we talked about at the beginning of the program.
I know.
It's all falling right. The pieces of the puzzle, folks, are going right together perfectly.
I know. And this tribulation will be a time of trouble that's also called the time of trouble in the Bible that the world has never seen before. Daniel 12:1 talks about it. It will be a period of the worst famines, worst earthquakes, persecutions, hatred, lawlessness that the world has ever experienced or will ever after that.
That's right. You think it's bad now. Well, you, like the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah. While the tribulation is occurring on the earth, the bride in heaven will watch, first of all, the coronation of the king, and then encounter two pretty big events.
Mm-hmm.
First, we will all be judged at the judgment seat of Christ for our worthiness and our qualifications as to what we inherit in the millennial kingdom. After this judgment, we will be escorted into the marriage of the Lamb. And of course, this is in heaven. And before we return to the earth with the Lord, so this marriage is going to take place after the judgment of seat of Christ, also called the Bema judgment.
That's the judgment. We will be judged with that in heaven, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we will sit in the Jesus will sit at the Bema seat, and he will judge us according to what we've done on the earth after we've known Christ.
Right.
Okay. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but I think it's interesting to note that when we come back in Revelation 19:7, we are not called the bride then. We are called his wife.
That's important.
And the actual word wife is there. In fact, why don't you read that?
It says, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready.
That's right. Okay.
And
then, of course, we go into the millennial kingdom after the sheep and goat judgment mm-hmm. of those that are left here on earth. But that reception or the marriage supper is actually on earth.
Would that be like the reception?
It's definitely. And it'll be at the Feast of Tabernacles.
That is
so let's
so
get
cool.
back to the judgment seat of Christ or the Bema Seat judgment as it is often called, because that was the name given to the place where officials sat, judged, and sentenced people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Pilate sat on a Bema seat, as did Festus, Galileo, Agrippa, and Felix. It is here that every Christian's position in the coming thousand-year reign will be determined.
Wow.
Christ will be the judge, and he will evaluate us by our fruits, our faithfulness, and our obedience while we lived on earth. Every Christian will find out their rank of rulership. So did you persevere? Did you go that extra mile for the Lord? And every time you just mention his name, it's written down in a book and you will be rewarded for it.
Yeah, and that's in Malachi 3:16.
Yes, in fact, I was going to ask you if you could read that.
Okay, it says, those who feared the Lord spoke to one another and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him.
Spares from what, John?
What do you think? It's the time of trouble.
I believe so.
The tribulation. Is the Bema Seat only a place of rewards, though? Is there any punishment, or is there any
inquisition
or questions, or what's going to happen here?
Well, according to Scripture, the Bema Seat actually means a judicial evaluation by a judge, Christ,
mm-hmm.
not only of positive results and the giving out of rewards, but also, as we're going to see, Scripture points out, of negative results as well.
Ooh.
But before we get to that, I just want to go back to that Malachi 3:16. I just wanted to remind people that every time you speak to someone and you talk about the Lord, even if you just say, praise the Lord, it's written down in this book of remembrance. And it's very clear in Daniel, I think it's around chapter 7, that the books are open. Now, that's plural. So it's not just the book of life, but I believe this book of remembrance for our rewards are open at the time of this Bema judgment seat.
Because God keeps track of everything you do. And if you don't believe me, Jesus himself said even the hairs of our head are numbered.
Yes, he knows it all.
He knows it. Sure. Each one has its own number.
Yeah.
So he keeps track.
Yeah. Now, I'm not talking about our sins. If we repent for our sins, they're washed with the blood.
Okay. Okay.
And
so
I'm not talking about salvation here at all.
Oh, okay.
We're talking strictly after we get up to heaven, and we won't be taken up unless we are righteous.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm going to have you read a couple scriptures now. If you could read John, 2 Corinthians 5:10, and see what it says.
Okay. Here, I got it right here. I got it right here. Wait a minute. Okay, it's on this page. For we, Christians talking about, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ.
All.
All. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he has done.
According to what he has done.
Whether it be good or bad. Okay.
There you go.
Ah, so Christians can obviously do bad things.
Well, of course. Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Well, that Greek word for bad is kakos.
Mm-hmm.
And it means more worthless things.
Yeah.
You know, kind of evil things. So, unfortunately, I believe some of that will negate some of the good things that we've done. And I think
you're right, too.
I feel bad because when I was backsliding, I think I missed all those.
Yeah, you erased some rewards.
Before.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So I'm starting over. I've been starting over the last 15 years, so I think I got some more now.
Okay, good.
But
I think you do, too.
Read another scripture because I don't want people just to think this is what I think. I want them to see what the Bible says.
Yes, right.
And then I hope that they will actually look these up themselves and take some of the words and look them up, just like you're supposed to do when you study your Bible.
When you study, right. Don't take our word for it. Study for yourself. If you have a pencil, write down 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5.
Yeah.
Okay? Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light both the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Mm-hmm. Then each one's praise will come from God.
Okay, so he will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. You know, people, if you're listening and you've got that little secret sin that you do in the dark and you just think that nobody sees you, it will be revealed in front of everybody.
It will be. And those thoughts,
time.
And I'm going to talk about myself, but even
so
I have thoughts.
Repent.
That I need to repent of thoughts, Sheila, because he knows our thoughts. He knows what we're thinking.
And I think we can all be saying that. But again, we have to remember to repent for that.
Yeah.
You know? But the outcome of this Bema judgment will determine our place, our role, our status, our position, and our authority within the coming kingdom.
Now that's huge.
That's huge.
Yes.
This judgment is God's gateway to the millennial reign.
Hmm.
As 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment must begin at the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's the Bema judgment. Consequently, all Christians must appear here at this judgment and give an account of themselves.
And Romans 14:10 says this. You can go and check it out yourself. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right. And can you read also the one in Colossians 3:23?
Okay. Got it right here. Colossians 3:23-24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance.
There you go.
For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality.
I know, that sure makes you, you know, we're not taught this a lot in churches either, that how important what we do for the Lord, it's going to make a difference when we stand to find out what we're going to do in the next kingdom.
That's right. So if you want to get a bunch of rewards real quick, go start saying praise the Lord and tell people about Jesus and they need to get saved.
That's right. And you don't want to go into the Bema judgment with unconfessed then.
Yes.
And confess it, get rid of it, okay?
Right. Move on. Even if you have to do it every day. Even
That's
if
right.
you have to do it every hour. Even if you have to do it every minute. Just do
right.
it. Right? It's that important.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Many Christians do not like to hear that there is going to be a judging of ourselves, not only for the good things we have done, but also for the bad.
For the bad.
Let's just give a quick summary here. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, actually, I'll just give a summary because it's kind of long, but like in verse 8, it says that each man will receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it says.
Okay.
And then like around verse 12, it says there are works of gold, silver, and precious stones, but there is also works of wood, hay, and straw.
Uh-huh.
Maybe those aren't as good, or I don't know.
I don't think they're going to hold up under what's coming.
Yeah. Or sometimes we do good things and we want to get praise from our fellow man. So they're not going to be worth as much as if we do something and don't let anyone know but God.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. The things we do in secret for God that we don't boast about are the things that he really treasures.
Those are the
in
precious
us.
Stones,
precious
I think.
Stones.
And those won't get burned up. And it says here, also in 1 Corinthians 3, that every man's work shall be made manifest.
Hmm.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work endures the fire, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And to me, that's saying he might just get in by the skin of his teeth. Okay.
Yeah,
but
okay.
As long as you're saved, you're saved.
You're saved. So
okay? You might not get any rewards.
But you'll be in the millennial kingdom, and you'll be saying, I'm so glad I made that decision for the Lord.
Yeah. But again, I really think that if you're listening to this show, pay attention and do works for the Lord, because at that judgment, you're going to want to get some rewards. And you want to have a place in the kingdom that's closer to the Lord's throne.
Is there a list in the Bible somewhere that says if you do this, you'll get this reward?
No.
If you do that,
oh.
Okay. Like a chart?
No.
Okay. But said there was a crown for something. I remember you said something.
Well, there is, yeah. It does say actually in Timothy that there is a crown for those that are looking forward to the Lord's return.
Okay.
And you know, I would think that was everybody, but it's not.
You would
There's
think.
So many people that have said, well, I got to go on my trip to Hawaii. I hope he doesn't come till then, till after that.
I've got a family to raise.
Yeah, I really want to have children, so I hope he doesn't come back before that. So they're not going to get that crown. But loss, though, as far as the reward, simply means to forfeit something that is already one's possession. So in other words, maybe someone has earned something, okay, but then he'll suffer loss.
Oh, that's what that means.
He will lose it. Some may have had righteous works in their lives at one time, as I just said about me, but because of lack of perseverance, they could lose their reward, but they're still saved.
Hmm.
So, how do you inherit the best positions? Being totally sanctified for sure. That means spending time in God's Word, because that is His will.
Mm-hmm.
And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what does that say, John?
It says, may your whole body, soul, one, spirit, two, or body, one, soul, two, spirit, be sanctified. That's three things.
That's
your whole
right.
self.
However, it's our own choice, moment by moment, whether we accept His will or not. And if we don't hold fast to the very end, it will affect the outcome of this judgment.
This Bema judgment, right?
There's a quote from Tim LaHaye, who wrote The Left Behind series. Could you read that?
Yeah, this is really cool. Many Christians have been lulled into a false state of complacency regarding this judgment. If Christians truly understood the eternal significance of good works, they would radically alter their lifestyle.
Wow. So the judgment seat of Christ will be for revealing and then rewarding the kind of Christian life a believer has lived. This judgment will be on the basis of a believer's works only, for example, the fruit that the Holy Spirit has been allowed by you to perform through you.
Mm.
Remember, our eternal destiny is never at stake at the Bema Seat, as I already said.
That's good to know.
What is being weighed here is our worthiness, our qualifications, our fitness, our readiness, and our preparation for positions or levels of responsibility in the future kingdom.
On earth.
This judgment is where our works here on earth will go through the refining test of fire, and the Lord will search our hearts and minds and expose the truth. This is also the time that each of us will give an account of our faithfulness, our obedience, and our perseverance to walk in the Spirit, as Romans 14:12 tells us.
Wow.
So, we will be evaluated on the basis of what we did with the time we have, the talents that God has given us, and the treasures that we were given by the Lord here on earth. And 1 Timothy 5:25 says, nothing will be hidden.
You can't hide from God. hide anything from Him.
But, you know, we forget.
We do
forget that
yes,
He's watching everything we do and hearing everything we say. And, again, remember the parable of the 10 talents. If you haven't read it in a while, it's in Matthew, I think, 25. Remember the reward that the master, when the master returned, remember the reward?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, the reward was, because they doubled their talents, enter into the joy of the Lord and rule over many things.
Ooh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Unconfessed hidden sin will be brought to light because it quenches God's spirit and hinders the works of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, little fruit can be produced. So unconfessed hidden sin is not good.
Not good. But remember, God is a loving God.
Yes, and He's also a just God. That's the thing. His justice demands a review of our lives. Every thought, word, and deed influences our inheritance. All this stuff makes a difference. Our position and our privilege in the coming kingdom. So let me ask you out there, are you storing your treasures in heaven? What are you doing for the body of Christ and for the kingdom?
Yes.
It's going to make a difference.
It's going to make a difference in our reign with Christ in the millennium. Right here on earth. Cool.
Amen. You know what?
Okay.
I think we're going to have to close, John.
We're going to have to close. So if you've never made Jesus Lord over your whole life, or maybe you're concerned that you might be one of those who just have the head knowledge of Him and not really a heart conviction, just get on your knees right now. Repent. That means turn away from those sins, those individual sins which seem to be lingering in your life. Then commit or recommit your body, soul, and spirit to Yeshua, that's Jesus, the Messiah of all. But always, your choice to choose Him it's your decision where you want to spend eternity. Remember, God doesn't send anyone to hell. You decide yourself where you go when you die because the soul never dies. It has to go somewhere.
That's right. And I just want to say we did have a caller, but we weren't able to get to her. So if you stay on the line, we'll get to you as soon as we hang up, and I'll answer your question.
Okay. Do you have any questions for Sheila? And you can't get to us now. Sheila at shofarministries.net. Just go there. And I want to remind you about the donations. They're extremely important. Okay? And now we're going to leave you with the ironic question. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha vichunecha, yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Tune in on the 19th of March.
That's right. Join us then. Now shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.